It's Monday, 3rd of November 2014. This is HBR episode 1631 entitled HBR Community News for October 2014 and is part of the series HBR Community News. It is hosted by HBR volunteers and is about 52 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to admin@hackerpublicradio.org or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is discussions on the New Year show and more.
This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HBR15. That's HBR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to Hacker Public Radio Community News for the month of October 2014. This is a regular show scheduled the last Saturday before the first of the month, I don't know. Anyway, scheduled, Dave sends out an email and everybody turns up. Tonight, starting in alphabetical order, we have...
Ahuka.
Bobo Bex.
Cornomino.
Hey, Wisher.
And... before we start, Kevin wants to talk about the HPR New Year's show. And tell us what it is for a start, just in case there are some people who don't know.
Well, what is this, the fourth year for it, or third? I can't remember. I believe it's the fourth, so we'll call it fourth. I might correct us if we're wrong. It's just on starting at, well, the first year we started at noon. I can't remember what clock we used to start, but we went for 12 hours, and after that we started doing 24 hours. I believe we're actually starting, it would be my time is 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the States. So now we run 24 hours, and the last 2 years, I think Ken has, and others have chopped up the show into 3 hour chunks and put it out as Hacker Public Radio episodes. So it's just a big community gathering to pop in anytime you want, chat about whatever you want. It's just a big chat fest and a lot of fun to participate. I've helped out the last 2 years in pumping a stream to a Icecast server for the streaming service, and I'd like to discuss if we're going to make any changes from the previous years, who's going to be doing what. We can do that, of course, later in the email. But Ken, I think, is thinking about making minor changes. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a few corrections. First of all, the average day is longer than 24 hours. So we had the idea that we would start when the first time zone hit New Year's and continue on until the last time zone exited. And due to the way the Earth is positioned and people wanting to be in different time zones, it turns out that the New Year show is actually 26 hours long. So that was a start. What worked really well last year, I thought, was the Evernote page that we had up. So everybody who wanted to discuss a topic on a particular hour, we had a skeleton frame for the particular time and time zones, so that we could greet the time zones as they joined in. And people who wanted to discuss topics put that in particular slots, and as we got to them we discussed them, and then links and various things that were discussed during the shows as they were going on, we wrote show notes into the Evernote thing, which actually worked out really well, because then we could annotate the various different episodes with really cool show notes. So I thought that worked really well.
K5 Talks, I don't know if you've seen us discussing that in IRC, but he already has the page ready for this coming show, so he's volunteered to do that again.
Okay, that is fantastic. One thing that we also had was a Icecast server on our own thing. We used this Mumble server, which is who is actually supplying this to us again?
John Neustetter is the owner, maintainer of this, and I've chatted with him, and he's gave us the green light to use it again this year. Thanks to John Neustetter for that.
Okay, fantastic. And we have a script that was supplied by also from IRC, Australian, not Stux, but...
Crayon, the Crayon.
Crayon, yep. And that basically just divvies out the streams to various different mirrors. To be honest, though, looking at the amount of people who are downloading us, our own ICE, our own VPS is more than capable of handling everybody that was listening on the IceCast. And also looking at the number of people who are on the MP3 feed, I don't really see a whole lot of point in doing an MP3 feed this year. And I don't see a lot of point in doing mirrors either, unless people want to.
So you're just wanting an AUG feed coming off of the main VPS.
Yeah, and the logic for that is it's a lot of work behind the scenes trying to keep everything up. So my idea was that we would run a X session on the VPS. Everybody who's doing the admin would take particular times that they could watch over it. And then we use, was it C-Prompts? I can't remember who also did a how-to tutorial on how to use Pulse Audio to just feed the output from a Mumble client directly into an IceCast server, and then we just stream from that. So simplifying everything out that we don't need 101 client machines, and that the one client machine does everything, and everybody who needs to or who wants to help out with the admin and has experience with Mumble and Pulse Audio and whatever can just connect to the central server, and you know, Bob's your uncle, you're done.
I'm lost on what you're referring to as far as the client using Pulse to feed the stream.
Okay, well, you are currently running a client on your PC, yes? On your
laptop,
yeah. And the output of that goes to your headset or your speakers, yeah? So with Pulse Audio, you can redirect that to a sync. That sync can then be redirected into IceCast, and IceCast can stream that out. It's as simple as that. So you would have one listener in the Mumble room, that would be the IceCast listener. That would be running on the client PC, on the VPS, in the next session on the client PC. Unfortunately, there's no command line client for Mumble as yet. But run on the next session, and anybody who wants to can connect and control it. So nothing too major. And with the idea behind getting rid of the MP3 is not a lot to do with freedom. It's more to do with basically every browser supports AUG, and we can put an embedded play thing on the web pages. And the reason for this is just the amount of work that is going into goes into getting everything ready for the New Year show just means that at that holiday time of year, you have a lot of people sitting around getting technical equipment ready when they should be just spending time with their family. Sound like a plan? Have a think about it, and we'll see. Get the thing set up, and then do it. Oh my God, it's next month! It's the end of next month. Where did the year go to?
So who will be running the client that uses the pumping the stream?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Who will be running the client that will be pushing the stream to the server?
Whoever's doing the admin. So it'll be on a, think of it as a X session running on the VPS. So, you know, once I kick it off, or if you're up, you can control it. If we need to do anything with it, whoever is doing the admin at that particular point in time can connect to the VPS and with an X session. And then like something like a virtual network client, VNC or something like that, connect in, mobile client is running there. Click start, click stop, that sort of thing.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, shall we get back to the purpose of this show, which is basically a rundown of what's been happening in or around the HBR community news in the last month. And I'm happy to say it hasn't been revolving around me this month, and it has been revolving around a lot of the people who were over at OGCamp. So, but before we get into the meat of the matter, to steal a catchphrase from somebody else, we will introduce new hosts. Cornomal, do you want to introduce the new hosts?
Yeah, so we've got some new hosts, one of them being me. I did my first podcast, or first episode this month, and the other being Benny.
Two people who hit the ground running, I must say, very much so. Welcome to HPR. Where's Benny from?
Switzerland.
Oh, very good. And he made it over to Odd Camp.
Yeah, he did. He was actually, prior to Odd Camp, he was camping or doing some kind of end of term, because he's a teacher, so some kind of end of term thing with his students in Belgium. And then he just got the Eurostar and came to Odd Camp.
Excellent stuff. Oh, cool. Okay, so let us begin, shall we?
Okay.
Do you want to start, Ahuka?
I would be delighted to. So on October the 1st, we had show 1608 from our brand new host, Core Nominal, doing interviews at Lincoln Lug. And one of those interviews was with the lovely Bobo Bex. It was a good bunch of interviews.
This was a nice one, least of all, from not least the fact that I have created a monster. The only negative point I could come up with this is I would have released these all as individual shows myself. I do like getting more shows in. Philip, you did a brilliant job on this, it has to be said.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks. It was actually, I did it just as sort of like practice for Odd Camp. So I got a new Zoom handheld recorder and I just thought I'd do a little practice at our local lug. And I think it turned out okay, actually. So I'm thinking I might do it once a year as a kind of just to keep track of who attends our local lug, and I think it turned out okay.
It's a very nice mix of people who you had there, and different backgrounds, and you know, different the way of coming into Linux seems. It's always fascinating. You always think it's going to be the same, but everybody has their own story.
We do have a very eclectic mix of candidates at Lincoln Lug. So you know, we have men, women, children, Windows users.
Yeah, so basically society, I guess. No, brilliant,
yeah,
loved
much.
It. Brilliant, loved it. And I just realized myself how lucky you can be if you do have a nice lug in your area that you can go to. It's a nice social event too.
It helps when your wife runs it.
True, true. So moving on, the following day we had Sigil and the process of EPUBs in FOSS. Whoa, does Lost and Bronx have a lot of hassle getting stuff produced? I don't know, are you any into EPUB, into publishing stuff or anything?
So far, I'm just a consumer.
I have, I do know his pain from going from one format to the next, going from XML to HTML, and theoretically it should all work fine on paper, but it never ever does. So if you are doing EPUBs, this is definitely a one tool to. So the following day, wrapping up, it wasn't wrapping up the file system series, was JWP with ButterFS, which I think has to be the best name of a file system, other than I can't believe it's not ButterFS.
No, I think that did wrap it up. Am I missing something?
Was that the last one? Yes, I think it was. That was the last one, yeah. Which is a pity, really, but because it's a nice,
the only,
good series.
The only negative comment I can make about it is that it was the last one. I want more.
Yeah, there's no reason. I think the JWP has a treasure trove of information there. I strongly suspect he would be able to put another few series like that together if he put his mind to it. Then the next day was, as ye all were having a fantastic time at Odd Camp, we were stuck here recording a show, and picture of four fine-looking gentlemen in the show notes for that HPR community news.
Yeah, I think it was just you and me that time, Ken, as I recall.
True. Yeah, working hard, working hard. Dave is unable to join us. He sent in his apologies. He has had life happen.
Well, you know, I abandoned him at least once because of stuff that I had going, so.
There you go. Then we had an interview with Michael Tilleman, which was open source newsbreak, semiotic, robotic.
You're jumping around here,
Ken. Am I?
Yeah, because we were on 1611. So the next show, 1612, was NY Bill. Don't forget the refurbs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I hit last. Sorry. Don't forget the reverbs. NYBville, why would he do this? Killing a perfectly good laptop. Actually, he didn't kill it. He just moved the microphone around. Did anyone follow this at all?
Yeah, I did. I took an interest in this because I've got pretty much the same laptop. It's not, I think NYBille's was the tablet one, but mine wasn't. So it's, but yeah, pretty much the same laptop. And I thought it was fantastic what he did.
It was, no doubt about it. But I don't think a lot of people would be just willing to take on that that task.
But it's okay.
That's pretty cool. And there are lots of pictures and stuff. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I ever do make it to the States, I am going to the Museum of Technology that is in my Bill's house.
I hear he throws a pretty mean barbecue.
Good, good, good.
In the snow too.
The following day, we had Michael talking about his internet nickname. And Ahuka, do you want to tell me what that internet nickname is?
I would have pronounced it Incius.
That's a good one, actually. We learn a bit of Latin. We learn about people's nicknames. We learn about the history of stuff. I, of course, picked mine, Ken underscore Fallon. My real name is H3774.
So you're an Android?
I'm unable to answer that question.
Your real name's Hella?
No, my name is Ken for a very good reason. Because I'm the fourth son, and my mother was expecting a girl, so she had loads of girls' names, and she had already ran out of her boys' names, so I got named after the kid who was in the bed next to me.
You should record a genealogy episode.
Yes, I actually am. I'm quite interested in genealogy, and there's some good genealogy stuff in Linux actually for tracing your family tree.
I'm named after a terrorist.
Kevin?
Yeah, how's your Irish history, Ken? Does the name Kevin Barry ring a bell?
It does indeed.
Oh, one That's of the guys, who I'm named after.
One of the politicians came out and said that the Irish Rebellion would have been considered an act of terror and wasn't justified. Fairly valid point, I suppose, made an argument.
An early lesson to me that it's all a matter of your perspective.
Tis true. I was very tempted to do an episode on whether I'm a terrorist or not, depending on my previous history, you know. And I've decided not to do that episode because that would be getting your name associated with the word terrorist. It's not a good thing.
Not now the NSA are listening.
No. Probably wise.
Then we had open source newsbreak from opensource.com, K12, Karen Sandler, open source identity crisis, and I like the discussion that went on along with this. It was nice to discuss, to have this show discussed in a sort of open roundtable way.
Yeah, that it was great, and I love Karen Sandler. So
then we had you with
inferential statistics functions.
Thank you. How we draw a conclusion from data and make predictions. I can tell
absolutely.
I can tell you love this stuff.
Well, yes, I do. And you know, this comes under the heading of maybe everyone at who listens to HPR might not love it, but you know, enough people do. I've actually gotten some feedback from people who said, "Oh yeah, I'm into that stuff too."
I'm not knocking it, Kevin. I'm not knocking it. As we say, there is always somebody who pulled something from this. This was, of all your shows, the ones that I would have loved to hear when I was doing this in college, but I made a point of just trying to forget all this stuff because it just doesn't float my boat, I'm afraid. However, it is interesting to see, and again, for people, there are excellent show notes to go along with this. In some of these episodes, you really would benefit from looking at the graphs and stuff that go along with it.
Yeah, I write out everything and have screenshots and what have you. So that's all available at my website.
I would actually like to see more of these on the various types of statistics. Don't get me wrong. It's flowing over my head a little, but it is. I think it's an interesting topic. It's always good to know, to learn more stuff about things you're... If things are presented to you in a nice way by people you like, then you're more inclined to listen to it and go, okay, well, if he likes it, then I might devote some time to learning the topic.
Yeah, and if you want to see how some of this stuff gets applied, I did a show a few months ago on how to understand political polling that might be of interest.
That is one of my favorite episodes, actually, that one. That really knocked it home to me about how you do need to listen to the number of, you know, at the end. This, but of course, this is only a poll of, 4,000 people randomly sampled on a telephone poll. You go, oh, okay. Maybe you're trying to BS me or something. Anyway, the following day was 1616, how to use web fonts. Klaatu reveals how to use web fonts without Google. And this is so simple. And I think he's hit a point here. It's like every site you go to, I have a blocker that's a request policy that prevents a web page from calling other web pages. And the amount of websites that go to web fonts at Google is unbelievable to me. Absolutely unbelievable.
Philip likes fonts.
Yeah, exactly. But run them off your own server. I mean, they're...
Well, I don't know. There are some advantages to running them off of Google's server. I mean, for example, you get this caching involved. So, you know, it means that you don't have to download it each time you go to, you know, a different website. It's there already and it loads quicker.
Yeah, but from the security standpoint, I generally like to restrict my browser to only stay on the same site because I don't want cross-site scripting going on.
Yeah, I'm a bit more relaxed about it. So,
there's also the tracking issue with it.
Yeah, again, I'm fairly relaxed about that sort of thing.
Okay, but cool. It's an option. It's a good option. But I don't know, do you host your images on other people's websites?
No, not personally, but I don't really see a problem with it. I don't tend to buy into all the, you know, NSA stuff and people tracking me and stuff. I kind of past caring, to be honest. I'm not up to anything bad. I'm not doing anything wrong. So, you know, who cares?
That is the subject for another show. That is true. I could point you in the direction of some other shows and probably will do in the comments to this, but anyway, let's move on. We had the UGG Camp, is a free and free culture on conference, and we had the first from Benny, which was the Android Space Team episode. And this was one of those episodes that filed under what the hell is going on here?
I wasn't drunk either.
No, I had speed up all my shows, and this one was sped up 2 times, and I was like, what the hell is going on? And then I got it, and I downloaded the app, but I have nobody to play it with, which is very sad.
It was definitely more of a spectator sport. There were 6 of us around the table. It was hilarious.
Were you all playing, or just the 2 of you?
No, there was 3 of us. We were in pairs, so me and my daughter, Emma. We then had Matt Copperwaite and his partner, Marie, and Mark Johnson and his partner. I can't remember what her name was. So one of us is on the phone, and it was just like, you have to, you know, if there's a wormhole, you have to flip the phone upside down, and it just gets faster and faster and faster. It was hilarious. Like I say, for the people watching us, because we were so busy concentrating on the telephone. But you do need at least 2 people to play. But the more people that play, the more fun it is.
It sounded like a an episode of Star Trek where they give some Scotty or Picard something really obscure to say.
Yeah, I can testify. It was pretty funny. I think, I don't know, I mean, I didn't play it myself, but I would imagine that when you're playing it, things happen so fast you don't even realise what you're saying. So as a spectator, I was taking it all in, and there was just some classics coming out.
It's the only time he takes any notice of what I say.
The following day, we had Benny with another episode from UGG Camp again, and this is the first interview with Peter Cannon and also Alistair. Well, Peter Cannon's from the Dick Turpin Roadshow, and what was Alistair?
Black Crow.
Yeah, quite interesting, actually. So how did you do the interview things? Did you just let people walk off and walk around and catch people, or did you wait for them to come to the booth?
I just kind of approached people and shoved the microphone under the face, a bit like you, Ken.
That's my boy.
He taught Benny well.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a bit difficult. Can you hear everybody? Yeah. So I was a bit nervous to begin with. And then after a while, I just thought to myself, well, you know, I'll just go and shove the microphone under their face. And if they want to talk to me, brilliant. If they don't, you know, it's not a big deal. And I think we've managed to get a good number of interviews. I've still got a number that I need to process and upload.
Yeah, the sooner the better, says he who had interviews for 2 years on his unposted. The shame. Did you have headphones on as well?
No, I just used the Zoom, just pressed the record button and yeah, just had a bit of a chat with them and that was about it.
Okay.
It was definite point and shoot.
Excellent. I love that. I loved it. Also good shows. You really capture the atmosphere of the thing. That's kind of the whole point, I think. Okay, moving on. 1619 was Bare Metal Programming on the Raspberry Pi, Programming 101. And this is Gabrielle Evenfire, who had a very technical and interesting episode way back and now is doing basically booting his own code onto a Raspberry Pi. Who needs a Linux kernel when you can hack it yourself? And this one is, I don't know, I found this one very, very interesting because it's, we did some compiler machine coding when I was in college and stuff. So this working with interrupts and doing poke and peek and stuff like that, it's really cool what he has done with this episode. And you sometimes forget when you turn on your computer and it's all flashy and your phone comes on and it's all whiz bang that it all more or less works on the same principle. It goes to a particular memory address and then starts from there booting itself up. So I love this episode. Then we had Passwords, Entropy, Good Password Practices by Hookah.
That one got a lot of comments, actually.
It did. Do you want to address them now?
Well, let's see. One of them was someone who thought that I was being very insufficiently cautious when treating with password length, although I went back over what I had said, and I think I said that it's an arms race and, you know, you shouldn't rely on length alone. You need entropy as well. But so I suggested if you don't like what I did, do a show.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was the point. The point was that it's not enough to combine well-known dictionary words to make a longer one, and that has been advised recently. But you also need to make the words gibberish as well, because they're able to get up to 55 characters words, which, believe me, it's about four or five words, six words, and one of my comments on the episode was quite a lot of systems restrict. For example, if you want to use Citrix, while Windows supports longer passwords than that, 64 or something, Citrix itself only supports up to 32 characters, so you need to have a password shorter than that. Being able to, with the off-the-shelf cracking tools, being able to crack a 55-character password quite easily kind of, you know, it takes it to the next level as well. So it's the point was, you know, the XKCD of
yeah, I know the one you taught. It basically takes four dictionary words and just strings them together.
And his point was that gives you plenty of entropy, and it's easy to remember. So it's like battery staple, correct horse battery staple. And which is actually in all the password dictionary hacking things now.
Oh, yes. You know, taking the one that was in the comic is a bad move just in itself.
But his point was they are now combining these words together with separators and also replacing O with zero and stuff, being able to crack what would be even difficult passwords. So it's a tough one. I don't know what the answer to it is, really. It's what are you going to do?
Well, my view is that passwords alone are just not sufficiently secure. You have to bring in something. For stuff that I care about, I try and use two-factor authentication wherever possible.
Yeah, and even that, there are ways around it. So yeah, but then again, you did make the point in your episode that it was, it was the government agencies will be able to get to your stuff. You know, dedicated attackers will be able to get to it. Anyway, we'll move on. Interview with James Tate of Canonical, and this was brought to you by Cornomen, and we have a picture of James with Mark Shuttleworth. Good interview, Philip. Good interview.
Yeah, thanks. James is a really nice guy.
Yeah.
So it was a pleasure talking to him.
It's a pity about the Ubuntu One thing. They were doing some interesting stuff there, and now he's working on the Ubuntu phone. Sorry, not laughing deliberately, but it's a pity to see technology like that just abandoned.
I can see why they got out of the business, though.
Yeah, don't know why they're going into a phone business, though.
This was also the last interview of OggCamp. They were actually packing up the marquees and the tables, and James's wife and his family were waiting, and Philip and James were still interviewing whilst everything was going on around them.
The beauty of time shifting. No, it's excellent. It's good to bring faces and that there are people behind these projects that people are tend to slag off or whatever. So good stuff. Now, finally, back to episode 1622. Michael Tiemann. Yes, correct. Thank you, him. And this was.
Well, I'm going to call it my favorite show of the month, actually. I'm a fan of the history of Linux, and it was, I just loved listening to this interview.
It was a good. Alternative view to the, join us now and share the software stuff, given a business perspective to it. And I think that was mentioned in some of the extensive comments to this episode as well. Maybe we can talk about those later on. But it for those of you who didn't listen to this, this is one of the founders of, what was the company again that got bought by Red Hat?
Well, he was at Cygnus, I believe, Cygnus was bought by Red Hat, and he came over, I think, as chief technology officer, something like that.
Yeah, and put the B business into Red Hat. So, very, very good episode about open source and how it works from a business point of view, setting up a company. Benny had a good. Interview with Kevin Milner and George Dosher of the tech and coffee thing. And this is something I didn't even know that George was involved in, because I don't use Google Plus, because it's
tech and coffee is a huge community now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Massive. Over 1,000 people on the community, and they regularly have, sort of like 20, 30 people in the hangouts. Massive.
Wow. And it seems to just exploded and expanded. It's amazing.
There's two things that geeks really like, tech and coffee.
There you go.
Genius.
Yeah, we have a group here in Michigan called the Coffee House Coders.
Ooh, I like that too. That's pretty good. Then,
do you actually meet in a coffee house, or
I'm not a member of it, but I believe they do meet in a coffee house.
Great place to crack Wi-Fi.
Says he who's not worried about people, about his privacy.
Indeed, well.
Yeah, but I don't use public Wi-Fi.
Okay, the following day we had Kevin with PengaCon called for talks. Anything, did you get any talks in, Kevin?
I don't know whether anything came from this particular program or not, because I have no way of actually tracking that. But as you know, with trying to publicize things, you just try and get the word out as broadly as possible. And I'm looking to get a lot of stuff in. I've got about 30 hours of stuff in hand already, and that's halfway towards what I had last year.
Oh, very good. And you were on the following day as well with a quick look at some miscellaneous functions in Calc, which I liked, actually. That was a nice short little episode on the various different options that are available to you.
Yep.
And following that was again, opensource.com team, having a roundtable discussion about OzCon 2014, about the various different talks, the keynotes, and that sort of thing. So that was a nice episode all around. Again, good to get an idea of people's various different shows and the atmosphere at them. You can tell that it's a very different atmosphere in there to something like GodCamp. So, good stuff.
Yep.
Then we had 5150, and our condolences go out to 5150 on the passing of his father this month.
Yeah, it's just been, the last few months have been really tough, because, you know, the house burned down. He had some burn issues, although thankfully he seems to have recovered. And then about a week ago, his father passed. So, I can tell you on Google Plus, he's been talking a lot about how thankful he is for all of the support and the friends and all of that. So,
yeah, it comes in threes, they say. So, this was a excellent episode on 5150 Shades of Beer, and I love the episode. I refuse to make a series out of this until he sent in three. As I've done with several different people. So if it's three, if you want a series, it has to be three or more. All the better if there's more. And I like this because I do like being a father who has biological alarm clocks that still come in the morning, regardless of what time you set them. I get to drink beer very rarely. So therefore, if I am going to have a beer, it better be a good one. So if anybody wants to send me some of these, feel free to do so. Then we had the following day Core Nominal with an interview with Pepper Comics. I have never heard of this and spent a good hour or two browsing their website. They're very funny cartoons. Pretty cool.
Yeah, me too. It turns out that because I subscribe to Linux Voice, I've been seeing comics from these folks all along. I just hadn't made the connection until we had this program. But I'm now working through all of those comics now.
Yeah, again, they were super nice and a pleasure to interview. And yeah, they were great. They had a fantastic stall at OddCamp as well. When I first saw it, I thought they were a professional sort of like professional outfit, but they do it all in their spare time. It's all open source, all, you know, free tools. It was brilliant.
And the style of their stuff is very different from the different series that they have on there, but all quite funny. I like it. It's good. It's nice to see this stuff popping up. Well done, Philip. Well done.
Well, thanks.
Banana Pie, First Impressions by Mike Ray. Like this episode. This was because I've seen one of these, and the only reason I wouldn't get them is because I think, well, I have so many Raspberry Pis anyway. I don't think it gives enough that the Raspberry Pi doesn't, and I like the teaching and free, well, the mission behind the Raspberry Pi. To me, the Raspberry Pi Foundation and what they're trying to do in education is what really drives me to support the project. But hey, no harm to have other options, I guess.
I have to admit, I actually just bought my first Raspberry Pi. Well, I had a reason to.
I found out I had mice in the cellar, and my first the first thing I did was run upstairs and order an infrared camera.
Yeah, I was at Ohio Linux Fest, and a fellow was talking about how you could run, I'm going to say Xbox Media Center. I know they just renamed it, but I'm drawing a blank. And you could run all of that on a Raspberry Pi, and it sounded like it would do everything I wanted to do. So I thought, well, hell, you know, Raspberry Pi is cheap, but why don't I just buy one and check it out?
Absolutely.
Just last week, actually, I fitted a Raspberry Pi to the side of a building in a little weatherproof box, and it's hopefully, fingers crossed, I've not been back yet. I'm due back this Friday, but it's been taking a picture every 30 seconds, so we're going to stitch those together and have a time-lapse video. But the Pi itself is going to be in this box for probably about 9 to 10 months, just taking pictures every 30 seconds. It's got a couple of 64 gig USB sticks attached to it, and I think I need to visit the site probably once a month, once every fortnight maybe, just to empty the images off this USB stick. But hopefully it's going to capture a really good time-lapse video of a new build on this. It's a college, and they're building a new dormitory, and hopefully it's going to be really good. So
you will want to, some of the Raspberry Pis are and it's look at the draw, some of them are very flaky about rebooting, will just reboot, and some will stay up forever, so you want to check it relatively frequently to make sure that it is continuing to take photos.
Yeah, it's this particular unit, I've used it before, so I'm kind of hoping it's gonna work fine. But you know, if I can get out of the office once a fortnight, you know, have a trip, I think it's about 50 miles up the road to go and check this Raspberry Pi, then you know, the more times I go, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I had one videoing a mouse trap, and it was funny what I got.
Did your wife think it was funny?
No, my wife is fine. I mean, she just wants the mice out of the house. But the little fuckers, you know those mice traps that come over and supposed to whack them? They just have come up and taken all the stuff off that several times. And even when I've like put it down with elastic bands, that they can't get it off, and they just come up and nibble and nibble and nibble and nibble and nibble away. And then you go and you even breathe on the thing and it snaps on your finger. It's just they're amazing creatures. So then I got some humane traps, and I was able to trap one, but the rest of them got away.
Our cat quite often brings mice in from the garden. I've got a brilliant mouse trap. It's called Becky, and she runs around. She runs around with an empty ice cream container and tries to trap them.
Oh dear, they're alive still, yeah.
She's terrible. She's a nightmare. And when it's harvesting, because we're surrounded by fields where we are, she brings all the live ones in and just drops them, and then just sits there and just watches them running around my hallway. But so we've got Tupperware and I say ice cream tubs, but Philip and Emma are like on the settee with their feet up hiding because there's a mouse running around the house and I'm desperately trying to catch it.
Oh, feel emancipated, Philippa.
You should see what I have to do for spiders.
We don't like creepy crawlies.
I will move on to bare metal programming for the Raspberry Pi Part 2, which was discussion on interrupt handling and using the X modem protocol. I just listened to that today, and if anyone was interested in learning a protocol, how something as complicated as, I don't know, HTTP works, it would be do well to listen to this episode, and as it's a good introduction to basically what a protocol is and the absolute minimum that you need. And again, I love this episode because he's going through the series of what you absolutely need to do stuff on a piece of hardware is, you know, make the hardware do. You don't really need operating system as such. You just need it to be able to do a few things. So that's kind of what they're doing in this episode. Keep them coming, I say. Keep them coming. So shall we move on to feedback comments this month?
I guess so.
Mike Ray had a clarification on his banana pie first impressions, which was to say that it sounded like he was from the Raspberry Pi. One second, please hold. Your call is important to us. Yeah, he's not from the raspberrypi.org. He's from raspberryvi.org. So that's the text-to-speech thing. Speaking of text-to-speech, for those of you who can do Java programming, I'm still looking for somebody to help me out with the eSpeak thing that we discussed last month. So if there's some code there, I just need somebody to help me with the wrapping of it in to make a command line program. If you could, that would be super. Thank you. And on the episode, Michael Tyman, there was Maestro 2. That was an excellent interview. Hearing the business case of open sources was interesting. Kevin O'Brien said it was an excellent interview, as you just said here again. And Pokey also thought it was a best interview so far on HPR. We can go that far. But it was a good interview, in fairness. Privacy and security, we've already discussed the various different aspects about that. I think any reply to that would deserve their own episode, to be honest. Wouldn't you agree? If you're putting forward a, no, you shouldn't do it this way, then I think an episode would be the best way to approach that. And Mike Ray, in response to Bare Metal Programming, really enjoyed the show and wants some more of that. I couldn't agree with him more. And on Space Teams, we had the show was ace. Thanks for the tip from Pokey.
He's obviously easily pleased.
He does like his gaming, does Pokey. But I must say, I downloaded that and I really wanted to find somebody to play it because it would be just cool.
I have to come to our camp next year, Ken. We'll play together.
Yes, or you could come to FOSDEM and we could play together.
Nice.
Touché.
We had Johan V with a comment on web fonts saying, does Klaatu have a blog post about this? And no, because Klaatu does not believe in having show notes, apparently. Klaatu calling you out, who is now on Twitter. Lot of feedback on Don't Forget the Refurbs by NY Bill X61. Love the speaker hack. Very clever idea. It would scare the living daylights out of me. And Pokey, again, loved this. On episode 1606, which was How to VNC by Klaatu, there was a comment by a... I don't know.
All right, dodgy geezer.
Indeed. Yes, Ken Fallon. About that VNC is not secure. I don't know if... we already covered this last month, so I put the show note in just so that in case Klaatu doesn't listen to the community news. Feedback on extravehicular activity, 1597 by Steve, was by Mr. or Mrs. No Name. Thanks, Steve. Enjoyable and informative episode, which it was.
So you're now going back into September.
Yeah, the episodes were, but the comments were made in October.
Ah, well, thank you, Becky. I'm not that bright, apparently.
Where's Ken? We can't hear Ken.
Hello? Yes, we had a comment by Gabrielle about the jargon file. That hacking doesn't necessarily have to involve lengthy effort or useful craft. But then again, I think when you introduce the concept of the word hack, everybody has their own view of what it is. So, yeah. The 501 electronics kit, which was episode 1536 by CPrompt, still gathering feedback. And it was by Plan9 fan. Great episode. And he just found out that his wife owns this very kit, but she and that she too was into electronics as a young adult. What a woman. Episode 1434, Why I Made an Account Free Android by Tojet. And his comment is about the that you need to be rooted to do some of the stuff, and in his company you can't have you can't run rooted devices. And I think that's it. Is that it? Yep, that's it. So, anything else, folks, while I root out the stuff from the mail list?
Not for me, Ken, but then I need to go and cook dinner for us.
Good idea. What am I having?
Pizza and salad.
Ooh, very nice.
So I'm going to sign out now, okay? So love to you all. Thank you for letting me join in.
Not a problem. And looking forward to hearing your future episodes, Beck.
Yeah, now we've got the Zoom, I shall be interviewing like a ninja.
Excellent.
Not.
Actually, Becky and I have got an episode planned, so we're just trying to work out the details. We're going to... I bought Becky and a new SSD for a laptop, so we're going to do a Philip and Becky do Debian.
Without pictures.
Okay, there wasn't actually a lot on the news report anyway, so it's just about OLF and about the community news coming up. So once you have it like that. So let's not labor this any longer and say goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Join us now and share the software.
You'll be free.
Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
Good night.
Well, that singing could have curdled milk.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.